Chapter 37. Halleck and Sage has a funny turn. Voice. You know what a funny turn is, don't you? It's pronounced funny turn, not funny turn, and it's when you come over all funny. Other voice, sarcastically. Well, that's helpful. First voice. Okay, well, it's when you come over all queer, then. Second voice. No, that's even worse. Here, let me. This is a British expression. It means you're minding your own business, and suddenly you feel sick and a bit dizzy and faint and déjà vu-y, and just generally weird. First voice. As though a goose was walking over your grave. Oh, sorry, that's another one. Second voice. You just suddenly feel weird like that, as though you got caught in a crack between two time streams, but then you shake yourself a bit and you're okay again. Third voice, off camera. This is John Kennedy's fault. He's been studying British idioms. This has been a public service message. Halleck and Sage really did feel weird for a minute, though, as if he'd fallen down the gap between two chairs, but metaphysically. One moment he was sure everything was all right, that the world was tending in a good way, that people were working together to restore the sacred hoop, bring back the land and the animals, that humanity had passed a dangerous, dangerous crossroads and was on its way up. He breathed a tremendous sigh of relief. That wasn't the funny turn. It was the place he started from. Suddenly, the whole thing shifted into a kind of nightmare, like a negative photo of the first scenario. Everyone was fighting everyone else, split into little groups depending on who or where they were. This wasn't an argument-type fight. They were actually killing each other over this stuff. Most of the people were just incredibly frustrated and going crazy. They were being asked to do stupid things that made no sense while being assured that everything was fine right now. Footnote. This sentence mirrors the rather weak and pointless-seeming title of Sage's second novel, Everything in the Universe is Fine Right Now, indicating that the author may already have been traveling between times and dimensions at the beginning of Book One. At the same time, a very small but incredibly powerful group of people were working hard every day to destroy everything. Poison the rivers and oceans and kill the fish, chop down the forests so there was nothing left to make oxygen or hold the dirt to the ground, so that it slid off into the water, stuff like that. Oh, and they were doing their best to start a nuclear war, too, which would obviously be the best way to destroy everything really fast. Sage shook himself, coming out of it. That couldn't be the reality. It could not. But the weird thing was, he wasn't sure which one was real and which was his crazy imagination. See, mumbled Sage to himself, alone in his cave. You thought my book Stranger was a bunch of bull, didn't you? But listen to it. You don't understand yet that what I write is what's really going on. Every time you think life can't get any stranger, it does. The strangeness is squared, cubed. What the heck? The end. See? Since Sage was still not sure which was the reality and which was the dream, or nightmare, he decided to just sit still for a while. Maybe he really was a genius, as everyone had thought.
Attention! Attention! The following is brought to you by the Lightsquidian Confederation, a new collaborative including followers of both the Book of Lighted Squid and the Book of Squidly Light. You can see by the fact that we are working together that the situation is beyond desperate. Are you listening, Halleck and Sage? This is what you need to know. Civilizations that have achieved time travel often believe any disaster can be walked back, that agents can travel back to before the disastrous timeline was initiated and change it. This is generally true. The exception, are you listening, Halleck and Sage? The exception is nuclear war. Nuclear war freezes the timeline and, once initiated, cannot be removed by any means known to unvirtual time travel, UVTT, the Squadron of Squidship 1, or any denizens of the known universe. Once it's done for good. This has been a public service message. The Lightsquidian Confederation, established 2019 CE. Footnote. In a further indication that the Squidilaire were upset beyond all measure, this communication did not use the now familiar fiery letters.
From this point on, the squid use or do not use these letters at will, depending on the content. For it is a well-known principle of squiddish language that the font must serve the text, rather than vice versa. After a while, the world steadied down a bit, and Halleck and Sage began reflexively writing again. He wrote as he always did, putting down ideas and little bits as they struck him, then weaving them together later, a bit like making a braid from different colored strands. But he could face neither his long novel nor anything else related to the alternate universe, the reality he had apparently created and which either was or was not a complete fiasco, and he had no idea which. He had started some story of no importance when he looked down and saw that the orange cat was back. Fatty Lumpkin, that was his name. He was making a funny noise and carrying something in his mouth. Sage had apparently spent some time around bands as part of his mysterious past, because he recognized the object right away as a black foam microphone cover. The peculiarity of the cat's vocalizations was the result of trying to talk while carrying this thing. The cat dropped it near Sage, then looked up at him beseechingly.
"What, you want to fetch?" asked Sage kindly.
Communication with this human was obviously impossible. The cat walked away. Sage was tired from the crazy spinning of his universe and presently fell asleep. He dreamed he was looking at a sort of diary, and he knew somehow that it was a record of the cat's adventures, achievements, and frustrations. In the dream, this did not seem strange. He also knew that the cat was a lawyer, hence the Addy in his name, and this did not seem strange either, but quite natural. The book was open. He read the page before him, and when he woke, reproduced what was written there. Here is what it said. 12:30:16. Last night at about 2 a.m., yes, all right, this morning, I delivered the black foam ball of ultimate significance outside Father's door. The humans absurdly refer to it as a microphone cover. I announced its arrival with loud, impassioned cries emphasizing its urgency, not with extreme yowling or funny noises, honestly. But once again, no action was taken, so I took it away again. They don't deserve it. F. Atty Lumpkin, Esquire, a feline American. Sage was a bit bemused when he awakened.
I wonder what that was about.
He looked around for the microphone cover in case it really was important. But it was gone.
Footnote. You can read Fatty's diary, including the story of the black foam ball of ultimate significance, or microphone cover, in the companion collection Sage's Multiverse miniseries.
He went back to calling the black dog.
Come on, pup, pup, pup. I know you've had it bad, but if you can just get here, we can make it better. You can be my dog, and you'll like No Name Stupid. He likes dogs.
Sage was talking softly to the wall, trying to make his voice confident, comforting, and appealing, trying to be a dog whisperer. He was generally pretty good with animals.
Come on, Sonar, he called, calling the dog by his name. Good boy. Good doggy then.